Well, this is Father's Day, and we want to welcome all dads here, absent dads that aren't here, or your father. Maybe your father lives somewhere else, or maybe your father's in heaven. Either way, I want you to remember dads on Father's Day. I had a clip. I always like to play a clip on Mother's Day and Father's Day, and the clip I found, I showed it to several, and they said, we've already seen that. So I had to come up with another clip, and I like this one, and I've entitled it, Aren't You Thankful for the Words That Dads Never Say. I remember I took my grandson camping. He was 5 years old, and we presented him with his first big pocket knife, and in a ceremony even, you know, and then he went home, and he called me later. He said, Grandpa, Mom took my pocket knife away from me. I said, well, there's something you got to understand. Grandpas and dads are here for you to have fun, and moms and grandmas are here to protect you. So I think that's true. Wouldn't you agree? When I think of that, of course, fathers never say any of those things, do they? And aren't you glad? Fathers are here to protect and to guard and to guide, and we appreciate dads very much. And I want you to know that dads are significant. In fact, in your insert, you can turn it over on the back if you haven't already and fill in these little percentages. This is a survey that was done, or research that was done in the year 2000, actually by the Swedes. And I don't know if there's been an update since then, but I thought it was very revealing. In their research paper, they found that when father and mother worship together regularly, then 33% of their children will also attend and worship regularly. 41% will end up irregular attendance, and 26% will end up not practicing faith at all. However, if a father is irregular attender and mother a regular attender, 3% of children. Isn't that amazing? 3% of children will attend regularly, 59% will end up attending irregular, and 38% will end up not practicing at all when you take the father out of the equation. And if the father is not practicing at all, but the mother is, 2% of children will end up attending regularly, 37% will end up attending irregular, and 60% will end up not practicing at all. Interesting statistics, wouldn't you say? And what it's really saying to me, and of course you got to be careful with statistics, you know, because nothing's 100%. I'm a product. My father left our family when I was young, left my mom with 5 kids, and I'm a preacher today. So you may come from a difficult situation. You're not locked into anything. But the purpose of that study says to me that the father is significant, and his practice in faith affects his family in a powerful way. And so I want you dads to know that you're very important and you're very significant. I do not believe in the gender blender. I think we are different. I do believe through the new covenant there is no male or female, and God has brought us all together in one, but we are still different. How many are glad for those differences? It's true. Women, yeah, amen. Women are inward, men are outward. Sight is to man what touch is to a woman. God made us all different and for particular reasons. So we celebrate that difference, and yet we come together in a great spirit of unity. We're going to continue on even on Father's Day. In fact, this will be important to dads, but also be beyond that, of course. We're continuing with our series, When We Gather. And last week, we began talking about when we gather, we bear one another's burdens. And we talked in Galatians 6, we talked about how important that was. How many of you have burdens? Is that something we all deal with? It is. In fact, sometimes you may feel like this, like life's getting ready to run you over. I thought when I became a Christian, there'd be no burdens and everything would be wonderful, but that's not quite how it works, is it? In fact, Jesus said in this life, you, me, we're going to have trouble, but he's going to give us peace. Be of good cheer, he said. That seems strange. Does that go with trouble? Yes, it does, when you understand our relationship with God, that we have these resources. It's not that we won't have burdens, but how we respond to them. You may feel like that power bar there, where you have more cords than you have plug-ins in your life. Is that true? And things just keep coming. Sometimes you may even feel like you're getting ready to blow a fuse because of overload. Listen, just because you're a believer doesn't mean you get a pass on this. We get to engage life just like everyone else, But God has given us some resources. And we began talking last week about three responses that we have to burdens. They're all in play. They're all legitimate. And the first one, of course, we talked about last week, and that is that we share one another's burden. The second one, and you can fill this in on your insert, we can shoulder our burdens. And the third response is that we can shed our burdens. So all three are appropriate. In fact, they can all be in play at the same time. What we need is just the discernment to know how we're supposed to interact with these three possible responses to burdens, since we all have them. All right? We began Galatians 6, sharing burdens. And here was the scripture we began with in Galatians 6, 1 through 4. Brothers and sisters, this is something when we gather, the ecclesia, when we're together, the congregation, the gathering of people, this is something we experience together. We experience burdens together. And if he says, if someone is caught in a sin, that's a big burden, isn't it? You who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted, carrying each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And do you remember what the law of Christ was? What's the filter we need? If we're going to bear one another's burdens, the first thing you need, and we found it in Galatians 5, we're going to learn to serve one another humbly in love. We are going to love our neighbor as ourself. This is the law of Christ. Love is the motivator if you're going to be a burden bearer. You can't bear burdens unless you love people. Love is the filter, isn't it? And Jesus was tested, remember, by the Pharisees. What is the greatest commandment? He said, well, the greatest commandment is Deuteronomy 6, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And the second is like it, and that is that you love your neighbor as yourself. And do you remember what Jesus said after that? He said that everything hangs on these two commandments. All of life. To love God and to love one another. It's a big thing here in this church. And we talk about it all the time, that the idea of love. You remove love from the equation and you have nothing. You have nothing. And that is the law of Christ. And that's what motivates us to share in one another's burdens. What was the second filter that we need? Love was one. The other is that we learn to walk in the Spirit. That God guides us and directs us. We talked about warnings. That you can become, if you're not careful, depending on your personality, and you don't know how to say no, you'll be carrying everybody's burdens, and you'll burn yourself out. Paul said, I don't mean that you be burdened and someone else eased. It's something we do together. We come alongside, and we can do together what we could never do by ourselves. Amen? And these burdens are real in our lives, but we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and let Him guide us. And we talked about some examples of that. All right? I shared the story in first service. Some of you remember it. Remember Jim Warnken, who used to work with us in our office, in our insurance office. Remember Jim? He was in a wheelchair. He fell off a mountain when he was a college student, was paralyzed for the rest of his life. And so he was our financial advisor, did a great job. But when we first met him, he had a little minivan. And some of you will remember that van who worked with us. And he had it jury-rigged so he could come up on the passenger side and he could open the door and literally drag himself up into the passenger seat. And I watched him do this many times. I even timed it once to see how long it took. And then he had bungee cords hooked up on the sliding door. And he would fold up his chair and reach around and pull it up into the van. And then he'd take the bungee cord and he'd shut the door. And then he'd have to drag himself over in the driver's seat and get adjusted. The whole thing could take up to 20 minutes just to get in the vehicle. And then you got to turn around and do that getting out. And I always was amazed that I thought Jim could stay home and be disabled. He could collect a check every month, but he didn't want to do that. He wanted to work. And so one day I was watching him intrigued by this. And one day he was getting out. It was winter time. And he lost his grip. And he fell and broke both of his ankles. And of course, he was paralyzed. It wasn't so much pain as just the severity of the break. And so they did surgery on him, fixed his ankles. And I said to Connie that one day, and sometimes God will do this with you as a burden bearer. He might challenge you to do something, and you don't have any idea how you're going to do it. And I just said to my wife, I said, we need to get Jim a handicap van. And she looked at me and she said, and how are we going to do that? I said, I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes God will put a burden on your heart. You don't know how you're going to do it, but it's pretty real. I said, let's just pray about it. And so we did. And one day, Connie calls me from Mel Hamilton Ford out on West Kellogg. She said, I think I found the van for Jim. I said, really? So I was pretty excited. You know, hey, my wife's involved in this. This is going to be good. And so we went out there, and sure enough, it would have worked. We'd have to get it totally equipped. We went over to Truck Parts over there, you know, on, is that Mays Road or wherever? And they said, well, it'll take $10,000 to fix that van up and make it handicap accessible. Okay. So we went back to Mel Hamilton Ford, and we told them, listen, we want to give this van to somebody at Christmas as a surprise. I said, would you give it to us for free? And they laughed. And I learned an important lesson that day. When you're bartering on something, start at zero. It's a good place. You know, because then you know, because if you start too high, you think you could have went lower. You won't ever know. Start at zero. So we started at zero. And they said, oh, no, we can't do that. And I said, well, what could you do? You know, and so we ended up getting a really good deal in this van, but we got to come up with all this money, and we didn't have the money. Don't you hate it when God asks you to do something and you don't have any resources to do it? Remember Chase said one of the things on your debt poem was seeing people in need, not being able to help them? Have you experienced that? I have. Well, we're just saying, okay, Lord, well, you keep saying this to us, so we're burden bearers, and we want to help Jim carry this burden. So we began to pray, and we had this idea. We said, let's just send out a letter to all the insurance agents in Wichita, because Jim was a continuing ed teacher. So you had to go to Jim to get your license renewed every 2 years. So we sent out letters to all of them. We sent letters out to all the auto body places. That were connected with the insurance, and we had this idea. I'm not saying I had a burning bush, but I think God will give you ideas, and sometimes you dismiss them and you shouldn't. And my idea was $100. How many people could give $100, and we could get Jim this van? And so we sent out these letters, and over a 30-day period, it was like Christmas every day. The mailbox was full, and $100 started flowing in. And you know, within 25 days, we had more than enough, and it still kept coming. So we was trying to figure out ways to spend the money. You know, let's put some bells and whistles on this van. And so we arranged to go to Crown Uptown Theater, which doesn't exist anymore as we knew it, and they had the Christmas play every year. And I said, would you guys, during intermission, present this van to Jim? And they said, oh, we would love to do that. Well, they went and contacted news media, and all the TV people come. And so we go there for, it's our staff Christmas party, and but we had to tell his wife, so she knew what was going on. Sometimes burden bearing can be fun. I was so excited. I could hardly wait. I could hardly sleep. I just couldn't. It was so exciting. And his wife calls me about 3 days before. She said, we got a problem. I said, what's the problem? She said, well, Jim is going to take his old van in the shop and have a new heater core put in it. And it costs a lot of money. And I can't tell him, well, you can't do that because you're going to get a new van in a few days. And I said, no problem. I'll go over and talk to him. So I went over. It's the old Amical Westlink Auto. And I went over there and I said, hey guys, you can't fix Jim's van. They said, why not? I said, because we're going to give him a new van in just a few days. They went, really? I said, yeah. I said, you got to call him and tell him you made a mistake and overbooked. They said, we'd love to do that, and we want to give too. I said, you're too late. You're too late. We've got too much money already. Oh, they said. So, well, we'll give him free oil changes. I said, well, that's good. We'll take that. Okay, so we get free oil changes, you know. I mean, people, listen, when you start burden bearing people's burden, but you can't say that five times, but it's contagious. It's contagious. And we went to the Crown Uptown that night. It was just so much fun. I couldn't hardly listen to the show. I'm waiting for intermission to come. You know what? I'm saying, come on, get on, move this thing along. And it came time, and you know how they used to do it, and a guy comes out, and I got a spotlight on him. He's got his microphone, and he comes out, and he goes, is there a Jim Warnken in the house? And I'm sitting next to Jim. He goes, whoa. He said, I said, Jim, I bet you won the door prize tonight. He said, really? I said, yeah. He said, they have door prizes. I said, yeah, I think they have a door prize here every night, and I bet you won it. He said, I've never won a door prize in my life. I said, well, tonight's your night, buddy. And he comes down. My heart is like coming out of my chest. I'm so excited about that. I'm not even getting the van. I'm about ready to pee my pants. I'm telling you. It's that exciting. And so he comes down. You're not supposed to say that. I really something like that. So he comes down to where Jim is, and he starts to interview him. And you got to know Jim to understand this. And he said, how long have you been in that wheelchair? He said, oh, ever since I was in college, you know. And I said, well, man. He goes, well, and you got. He says, well, do you have one of those real nice handicap vans? You got to appreciate Jim. He goes, kind of. In his mind, yeah, I'm equipped. I got bungee cords. I'm all set. I'm ready. And so he has him describe it, and this guy holds up these keys. And he says, Jim, not anymore. Not anymore. And he hands him those keys. And he turns to this audience, and he says, we're all going to take a break now, and we're going to take an intermission, and we're going to go outside and watch Jim get in his new van. And we did, man. It was so exciting. It was so much fun. But what happened that week, I did not expect. Because Jim, you know, you sometimes you're meeting needs, but you don't really know the whole package. And maybe they don't either. You're just responding. You just show up and let God use you as a glove on his hand, right? I mean, the pressure's not on me. God provides it. And so he calls me on Monday morning, and he says, Pastor Joe, guess what I did today? I said, well, I don't know, Jim, what'd you do? I never even thought about this. He said, I stopped at Quick Trip and got a cup of coffee. And I sat there for a while and went, I never realized Jim could never stop at Quick Trip and get a cup of coffee. It would take too much. But that day, he wheeled on out and pushed the button, and down he went, and he went inside. He said it was the best cup of coffee he ever had. Now, I'm just trying to prime the pump for you, because God wants to use you to be a burden bearer. And you can share. You can do things for people in very practical ways. And God will help you. That's the cool thing. We're in a partnership. Well, quickly. Here's the second one, all right? The second thing is we share, and we also shoulder. Shoulder. One translation says, shoulder your own pack. And what this is just your personal responsibilities. It almost seems like double talk, because Galatians says, share one another's burdens. And then it says, carry your own load. Well, what are you, schizophrenic? What do you, make up your mind. What's it going to be? Am I going to share the burden, or am I going to carry my own load? Well, the fact is, it's not a contradiction. They're really complementary, because there are things that only you can do yourself. Like, if somebody called you up and said, listen, I'd like you to go to work for me and then have my check automatically deposited in my account. Would you do that for them? Yeah, just show up, do the 40-hour thing, and then just have that check forwarded to me. What would you say to them? Well, sure, you want to share that burden, don't you? No. See, no, that's your burden. You got to show. Nobody can go to work for you. You got to go to work for yourself. Amen. There's things as a pastor that I have to do myself. I can't give them to anybody else. So be careful that we understand what our responsibilities are, because we have them. And dads, we got some responsibilities that only we can have. Is that right? I love this scripture in 1 Corinthians 3:6, one of my favorites. I planted, Paul said, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. All right? There's three things going on there, and we talk about it a lot, right? Three things, three filters are always present, no matter what it is you're talking about. There are three parts. What are they? God's part, and there's my part, and then there's other people's part, right? Always. Doesn't matter what you're talking about. And in that scripture, you see it, don't you? Paul said, I planted. Apollos watered. God gave the effect. That was his part. And we have to understand, when we're talking about this, that God has, he's going to do his part. My problem is sometimes what happens to me, I don't know about you, but I get fretting over whether God's really doing his part. Hello, God, have you forgot about me? Because I thought things were going to happen sooner than they did. And I get all wrapped up in that. And then I get really frustrated because other people don't do their part like they're supposed to. Hello, is it true? Like, come on, people, what's the matter with you? And then what happens is you don't do your part. You get sidetracked. And the enemy wants to get your attention, and don't do that. You need to focus. What is your part? I love the story, don't you, of when the 5,000 people needed to be fed in the book of Matthew. Remember? Jesus said, the people are hungry. What are we going to do? And it's like, well, we could send them into town. And Jesus says, well, let's just feed them here. And he turns to his disciples. He said, you feed them. And they did just what you would do, right? They got their wallets out and started looking. We don't have enough money, Lord. What are we going to do? Well, what do we got? And so they find the little boy, right? And he's got the loaves and fishes. And we know Jesus breaks it and feeds 5,000 people. What an incredible story. Do you see the three parts there? Did God do his part? Yeah. Disciples did their part. Jesus said, go out and find out what you got. And then there's this other little kid. He did his part. Other people, you have no control over that. God takes control of that, right? When we helped Jim, we did our part. We acted upon what God spoke to us. We sent out a letter, and other people did their part. God did his part, and it all came together, and it was a pretty cool thing, right? And so it is. The manna, remember the manna from heaven? How'd you like to be one of the children of Israel, and you eat angel food every day? I mean, right from heaven. I mean, would that be something? And isn't it amazing in that story? It doesn't take them long and they start complaining. I mean, if you complain because you've got too much angel food coming down, you're going to be hard to please, don't you think? You're going to be a little hard to please. They're like us, aren't they? We got so much, and yet sometimes it's hard to be able to please us. So we have to understand that even in that, God provided the manna. The children of Israel, they had to go out and get it how often? Every day. Why didn't God just send it once a week? Why didn't God just, hey, we're going to do a monthly drop over here, and you come over to the center and get your food? Why didn't he do that? I mean, God's busy. Wouldn't that be a better use of his time? No, he was developing something. He wanted their part to be a daily walk of faithfulness and to trust him every day. That's what he was after, and that's why he did it. One of the things that keeps us from doing our part sometimes and getting confused with the parts is we kind of, as dads especially, I'm talking to dads right now, we kind of think it all depends on us, and it really doesn't, you know. And sometimes, how many of you feel you haven't done a good job with your part? Yeah, we call that dad shame. You also have mom shame too. You know, oh man, how many dads, don't lift your hands, but you'd say, you know, if I could go back, there's so much I'd do different. Yeah. Well, the fact is, you could do that, still come back to this day, and you'd still want to do it again. Because we're broken people. And we don't do everything real well, but we do have a part. And because God's there doing his part with us, he has a way of turning things out in cool ways. Is that right? Well, let's look at the third thing. And this is where we want to focus as we bring this to a close of these three responses. The third one, this is the most difficult of all. The sharing we can do, the shouldering, okay, we can do that, we can buck up under that. But then there are burdens that you are not meant to carry. And no one's meant to carry them with you. They're to be shed. Psalms 55:22. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Psalm 68:19. Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. How many of you believe that? How many of you, that's difficult for you to do? It's difficult, isn't it? I heard somebody say, and I think it's true, there are no great men of God. There are only men who serve a great God. We got to keep that in perspective, right? It's God who is great, and we come and serve him, and somehow he does something with our lives. When you come to God and you trust him, you lift the pressure off your own life. This is so important. Dads, moms, everybody. Yeah, we can share. Yeah, we can shoulder. But more importantly, we need to learn how to shed our burdens. Listen to this scripture. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares. Some of you, your translation will say anxiety. Casting all your care, all your anxiety upon him, for he cares for you. Isn't it interesting in the context? The key, I believe, this morning, and I want to give this to you, this is your key, that will help you be able to shed. It's humility. Humility is the key. And in fact, when you look at this scripture, you got to think of it like this, like one command. It's kind of like, drive carefully, keep your eyes on the road. Okay, that's one thing, isn't it? Here he's saying, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting all your cares on him. It's a flow. It's one thing. If we're going to walk in a spirit of humility, and if you look at this scripture in context, what comes before it? Word humility is used two other times. You younger men, submit in humility to your elders. And then he says, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, right? And then he goes into the scripture. God's going to resist the proud, but he's going to give grace to the humble. There are four incentives there for humility, because I believe, dads, humility is our key. It's how we're going to do this. In verse 5, younger men, be subject to the elders, right? God is opposed to the proud. God gives grace to the humble. Who needs more grace? He says he's going to give it to you. God will use his mighty hand to exalt you if you humble yourself. And then God will use his mighty hand to care for you. Why? What's it say in that verse? Why can you cast your cares on him? Because he what? Do you believe it? Because he cares for you, right? And the opposite of humility is what? Pride. What does God resist? Pride, right? In fact, in the original text, it means he stiff-arms you. God stiff-arms the proud. So what is pride anyway? Do we have to be concerned about it? Because evidently, and this is what I want to give you today, this is the one thing. The thing that will keep you from casting your cares on the Lord is pride. It's the opposite of humility. Listen to this. It's not on the screen. Hosea 13, verses 4 through 6. I have been the Lord your God since the land of Egypt. I cared for you in the wilderness, in the land of drought. As they had their pasture, they became satisfied. And being satisfied, their heart became proud. Therefore, they forgot about me. So what is humility? Humility is dependence upon God. The opposite is pride. Hey, I can do this on my own. I can do this thing. I don't need God. I can do it. In Deuteronomy 8, 11 through 17, the writer says, beware, lest when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold multiply. Say, well, that's not talking about me. He's talking about rich people, right? No, you are rich. You're the 1% of the world. We keep talking about the 1%, but go global. You are the 1%. You are the prosperous one. And look at the warning. Then your heart becomes proud, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out from the land of Egypt. And you say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. You see it? Where is pride? Pride is thinking, I got this thing. I can do it. I can handle it. Just, you know, give me enough time. I'll take care of it. And pretty soon we forget about God in the midst of our prosperity. It's pride that keeps us from casting our cares upon the Lord. Isaiah 51, 12 through 13. God says to Israel, she's kind of in this anxious mindset. He says, I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of the man who dies? Who are you that you are afraid of the man who dies and of the Son of Man who is made like grass, that you have forgotten the Lord your Maker? See what happens to us in our anxiety. And please let me clarify. I'm not saying all anxiety comes into this bucket. There's anxiety that has to do, there's people who have psychological problems. There's all kinds of issues that require special attention. Medication, maybe. I'm talking about run-of-the-mill anxiety that all of us have. Not one person here doesn't have it. We all have to deal with anxiety from time to time. And yet, I think of the scripture in Philippians that says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, what is it? Well, in faith, as we humble ourselves and trust in the Lord, it'll be easier to shed our cares. But pride will keep us from that. Hey, no, I can do this. I'm okay. And we forget about God and we become satisfied. And we're very prone to that in our country because we're so prosperous. My goodness. We have so much. And it's easy to fall into this trap where all of a sudden anxiety takes over. And it's because we're not humbling ourselves before God. If you humble yourself before God, it will be easy, as that scripture says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You're saying, God, you're God, that he may exalt you in due time. And how's he going to do that? Do all one flow here. When you cast your cares upon him, that's when he's going to exalt you. And he's going to do that because he cares for you. Amen? Amen? And I want to close with this scripture. You know it well in Matthew. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Remember, we've talked about this before, the yoke, the yoke of the rabbi, every rabbi had a yoke. And what it was a list of requirements. And if you were going to hook up with this rabbi, okay, if you're going to be part of my group, here's what you got to do. Boom, 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 boom. Some of them were quite lengthy and heavy. I mean, man, if you follow that, you follow that rabbi, it's going to be hard, hard, hard. Jesus says to them, "My yoke is easy." Oh, really? Yeah, I'm not like the others. "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." What was he talking about? He knew what was coming. He knew that he would be giving himself as a sacrifice for us. And that in our brokenness and in our sin, that we weren't going to have to see. Everything else was works orientated. You got to work, you got to get better, try harder, do. Jesus says, "No, my yoke's different than that. It's going to be an easy yoke. It's going to be by my grace." And what did we just read in our text today? That God gives grace to the... And who are the humble? Those who are dependent upon God. The humble are those who say, "God, it's all you." So we can still share one another's burdens. We can still shoulder the burdens. It's all in play. But I believe the most important thing you can do with burdens today is actually give them up and just shed them. Now, what kind of burdens do you have today? You got some you need to... I believe there's people today who can walk out of this service burden-free. Because you're going to be able to say, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to give this burden to you." I don't know what that might be. It can be different things. There might be people here, you got a burden about your job. And it's resting pretty heavy on you. And you're anxious about it. You worry about it. You can't sleep at night thinking about it. Here's God's counsel to you. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Because here's the reality. Sometimes anxiety is just pride. It's just pride. So humble yourself. Say, "God, I'm just going to trust you." And at the bottom, "I'm just going to trust you. And I'm going to declare that you are God." You need to preach to yourself and say, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this. I don't know how you're going to do it. But I'm letting go of this thing. I'm not going to carry it anymore." Maybe it's a marriage problem. You say, "Man, our marriage is this close to... one of us is getting ready to walk out right now." And that's a pretty heavy burden, isn't it? You need to give it to God. He'll help you. You may have a part to play, but God's got a bigger part. Maybe the real issue is pride. And you need to humble yourself and say, "God, I'm dependent 100% on you. I can't do this. I can't do this." In first service we read, we don't have time in this service, but we looked at 2 Chronicles 20, where Jehoshaphat was surrounded by all the armies and they were going to crush them like a bug. And Jehoshaphat said, "We are outnumbered and I don't know what to do." Is that a burden? And there's more of them than there is of us. And God speaks to Jehoshaphat, three parts: God's part, his part, other people's part. He said, "Listen, Jehoshaphat, you're not going to have to fight in this battle. I'm going to fight for you." Is that nice? That's good, isn't it? Well, thank you, Lord. Because I thought it was going to be me. No, I'm going to fight the battle for you. But I want you to gather the people together to pray and go down and position yourself for the battle. And watch me work. And I thought to myself, man, if that was me, I'd say, "I'll just stay home and watch the battle and read about it in the paper the next day. And God will get all the glory," right? Wouldn't that be the right thing? Hey, I don't need to go down there and do anything. God says, "No, I need you to go down there. I want you to position yourself. I want you to humble yourself, depend totally on me, and see what I'm going to do." And they did it. And we know what happened. God sent an ambush, and they were delivered from this. It was an impossible situation that they could have never handled on their own. But if they'd have went out there and said, "We can do this. We can do this. Get the guys together. Get the stuff. Come on, we can do this." They would have lost. But they humbled themselves. They knew, listen to me, they knew their back was against the wall. And some of you, your back is against the wall right now. And I'm here to declare to you today, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because you're in a place where you can say, "Okay, Lord, I'm just going to depend on you in this thing. I'm going to humble myself under your mighty hand, and you're going to exalt me as I cast all my cares upon you, because I know you care for me. Amen. Father, we're going to come to this table this morning, and you are the greatest burden bearer of all, because you bore our sins. You lifted all our struggles upon your shoulders, and you carried the load that we could never carry. And so we thank you for that today, and we're going to take this bread and dip it in the cup, and we're going to remember it. We're going to remember what you've done, and we're going to celebrate today the reality that you really do care for us. For no greater love hath this than a man lay down his life for another. And you did that. And you shed your blood so our sins could be forgiven. You really do care for us. And so now we humble ourselves. We're laying down our pride. And we're declaring our dependence upon you. And you are lifting that anxiety from us right now. We don't have to worry about these things anymore. We can just rest in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please, as we prepare to dismiss? I appreciate your patience today. I hope you have some great plans for Father's Day. I know we do. We're going to be joining downstairs with the Schultz family today. They're going to have a memorial service for Mark's brother who passed away. And so it's a kind of a neat time, Father's Day, family time to do that. So we're going to join with them for a little while. I'll be praying for them today. But I encourage you, if you need prayer this morning as we dismiss, we'll stay around. We got plenty of time. If you just need somebody to agree with you in prayer, maybe you're carrying a burden today and nobody knows about it. Maybe not even your spouse knows about it. We would want to come and help you either to share it or to help you shoulder it or to help you shed it. They're all in play, all three. Amen. It's God's gift to you today. Take advantage of it. If you're here and you've never made a profession of faith, today we want to pray with you. This could be your day. And that's a work of God. It's God's part. You know, He's doing it. We don't save anybody. God doesn't. You can't save yourself. It's totally a work of God. Amen. That's why you have to humble yourself. Say, okay, God, I surrender to you. Amen. Amen. Father, I love this church, and I pray that you would just continue to manifest yourself to us and help us to realize how much you care for us. No one cares for us more. And you have demonstrated it to us. But sometimes our pride keeps us from embracing it. And I pray today that we just lay that down and we'd say yes to you, Lord. We're saying yes to you with all our needs, all our problems. And we're going to walk out of this place with that burden lifted from our shoulders. Thank you for this precious gift. We love you and we love each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go in God's love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.